right, St. Andrew's family, we are back. It's Pastor Matt.
Pastor Ethan.
And we are here to talk about last week's sermon.
Yeah.
And then talk about this upcoming week's sermon.
Let everybody know how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, the inside baseball stuff, yeah, man. So you had First Peter.
Mm-hmm.
First Peter. And yeah. I always think it's cool because we have these letters from Peter, but then you can kind of go to the book of Acts and kind of go back and forth and kind of see where people were and see what Peter was mm-hmm. up to.
And
it's kind of a multi-layered view. I guess that's part of just how this sausage is made. Anytime you're looking at a letter, you can often find similar stuff in Acts, and you kind of get the two different camera views on some of the same situations.
Right.
You know, it's pretty cool. So
really cool.
So Peter, though, Peter's writing to, you were very specific about this, Peter's writing to a group of Gentile Christians.
Right.
And Peter himself had to figure that out, right? He is told he could go to the Gentiles, he ate in a Gentile's house, and then later on, Paul gets after him because he kind of starts hanging out with just mm-hmm. the Jews again, and
mm-hmm.
then... So as you're thinking about that, you know, when I say Gentile Christians, of course we hear that today. You're like, we're most of us are probably Gentile Christians. Some
right.
maybe have some Jewish background or blood, but what does that mean in Paul's day to say a Gentile Christian?
Yeah, I think that really informs a lot of the letter, and we touched on it a little bit, but they were going through some persecution. They were, as I kind of mentioned, just not, they weren't the same anymore.
Right.
They came from a religious system and practice that was just completely removed from, you know, the way that the God of Israel operates, you know. And so as Peter's kind of, I think, doing a few things, he's like comforting, he's reminding, he's reassuring, and as we touched on this weekend, he's kind of saying, yeah, like you're gonna be different than the rest of your community now. And you're gonna think differently, you're gonna act differently, you're gonna pray differently, all these things. So that kind of seems to be like the gist of the reason behind writing the letter. And then that's where we got into what you would find at, you know, Hobby Lobby, you know. instead of eat, pray, love.
Resist evil, pray, love.
Resist evil, pray, love. Yeah. So somebody put that up on, like, you know, a nice piece
of... Yeah, love you some word art.
Yeah,
some nice
yeah.
word art. Yeah, yeah. The old Michael's, Hobby Lobby, whatever it might
right.
be.
Right.
No, what's interesting, and I was thinking about this while you were preaching, was, you know, they were going to be different, and they were going to, like, mm-hmm. and you even said very practical things. You're the way you relate to music and culture and art,
mm-hmm.
and the way you're not going to maybe change the way you dress. You're probably going to dress very similar. You still speak the same language. That's so unique about Christianity. It doesn't, you're not eating different stuff necessarily, but you're just like, things are different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read like someone like Rodney Stark or someone who did a bunch of research on the early church, like at the same time, people admired what Christians were doing because it was so mind-blowingly good and different, and yet they got persecuted for those same things.
Yeah.
It was like respect and like revulsion all at the same
right.
time. And what a weird world to ask people to enter into, but I guess that's still what we're being asked to enter into today, right?
Right?
Yeah.
And there is that sense of... like you're kind of getting at, is we don't necessarily look different, you know, we don't like separate ourselves from society or
uh-huh.
anything like that, you know, but we operate within society and within like the culture and time and place that we're put in, as distinct beings, as distinct creatures,
right.
you know, and this is something that Peter talks about, right in that same part of the letter that we didn't read is the idea that we're reborn. Like we're a different being. We're a different creature than we were before faith broke into into our hearts and into our bodies,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we should be different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just kind of a different way of thinking about the Christian. The Christian is a reborn creature, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, that definitely informed a lot of what went into my sermon prep and what I was thinking about. And also, of course, having confirmation.
Yeah.
To celebrate, I just thought it was a really fitting to remind all of us of here's the things that we say, yes, we believe to, and the distinctions that makes for us. And ultimately, though, and what I try to do was to bring it back at the end and say, the reason we're, you know, reborn, the reason we're distinct is because of the God who chooses us and delivers faith to us through the power of the Spirit. So
That was cool. Yeah. I appreciate how you had us talk about it, you know? Kind of ask people what are some of the things. It was interesting that the people's response and what are some evil things you see in the world. And it was interesting how quickly people kind of just jumped in, you know?
Right.
And
You sometimes never know what you're going to get.
Right. Exactly. If someone shouts out long sermons, it was good. Engaging sermon. I like the just kind of the root of it. Just hey, this is who we are, and this is what we're going to say we are. And now let's go give evidence to that with our lives, with the way we love people,
exactly,
and pray. There's all that. The thing that strikes me though is that, you know, we're going to look different than the culture around us, and because Christianity isn't its own language and it's not its own ethnicity or anything, that the things about Christianity that people struggle with are different in different parts of the world. You know, here in America, you know, you talk about the Christian sexual ethic that sex belongs in marriage, and suddenly people get outraged at you. But you say turn the other cheek, and people think that's a great idea. You know,
right?
But then you go to another country across the world and say turn the other cheek, and people say, "Well, what are you talking about? That's offensive to me." You fight back, but then if you say, right, but there's a sexual ethic where sex belongs within a marriage relationship, and say, oh yeah, of course, you know,
right. they're not
offended by that, yeah, but by the other things. And so
that's so interesting.
It's just kind of a weird thing, and I think that's part of the wisdom of just kind of knowing your culture and how do you relate to people and how do you share the good news of Christ in your culture, you know?
And I think what you're describing is it's kind of like the air we breathe that we don't really even think about or realize how familiar we are with our with the things that, I don't know, we need to be aware of, the particularities of our society. And that's why it was kind of nice to be able to just say, kind of like what Peter's saying without saying it, he's like, you guys know, like, resist what's evil.
Yeah.
And that's all he really says. Well, you know, just resist.
He doesn't give a lot of examples, but in a way that's kind of a genius way to do it too.
Like, yeah.
Go wrestle with this. Figure out what that means, you know,
figure out
what that means.
So we got to chew on it a little bit ourselves.
We did. We got to take it home and chew it on it too. It's been great. So,
So as we're getting ready, just kind of transitioning from this celebration weekend, confirmation and baptism, and just kind of what a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
Getting back to the rest of the Easter season, getting closer and closer to Pentecost.
Yeah.
Now we're getting back into the book of Acts this weekend.
Yes, Acts 17.
And we get to, I don't know if we've met Saul or Paul yet in Acts, have we?
Yeah, he's Paul.
Have we?
Yeah,
he's Paul by now.
Yeah, we meet him.
But up until this week.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So this weekend is the first time we get to talk about Paul.
Talk about Paul.
Right. And just really famous account of him ministering to, again, non-Israelites, people who don't know Jesus.
And
kind of get us a little insight into what you're going to be preaching on and what's God kind of directing you to right now? Where is he leading you right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday. I just got back from a conference, so I'm a little behind the eight ball here. But
right.
Really struck by how Paul, the method Paul uses to engage. Now, he knows the culture, and he knows how to talk to these Epicurean and then Stoic philosophers in Athens. But first off, he is provoked in his spirit because he sees all these idols, and he sees all these false gods, and he's troubled by it. He's kind of like almost, you'd say, angry about it. But the way he puts that out, that anger out, is not by trying to go after people, but by engaging and sharing the love of Christ with these people that are there. And I think the thing that strikes me is that he, so many, like, I this is kind of where I'm thinking. Like, if you look on, like, your YouTube feed or whatever, your social media feed, there's so many videos people want to see, like, oh, this person destroyed this person in
right.
the debate.
Right.
Or they annihilated him. That's like, oh, yeah, I want to watch that. Right. Usually if you watch it, it wasn't, like, that big a deal.
Uh-huh.
But that's how you get people to watch. And it's funny because in our culture, they watch Paul destroy the Epicurean philosophers. Oh, yeah, let's check this out. You
right,
know?
Right.
But when you look at it, he's actually very respectful. I see in every way that you're very religious. He connects with them. You know, you worship this unknown God. Let me tell you about this unknown God.
Right.
And then he even knows some of their own poets and stuff. And and he's very, he just engages on a very cultural level. And the thing I keep kind of dumping around my mind right now is this idea of, like, being against the world, and people think Christianity, we're going to go fight the world, and the world's this terrible thing. But I think being against the world is almost saying, let's go against the way the world's doing things right now. The world's trying to divide everybody. The world's trying to cause dissension and fights. Go against the world by just loving your neighbor. By go against the world by just trying to talk and find some common ground to talk about. And obviously, Paul sticks to his guns. He doesn't. He talks about the resurrection of Jesus. He talks about the fact that God created the world. He goes from Genesis to the promise of his return.
Right.
He doesn't give an ounce. He doesn't give an inch on what he believes. But he finds some way to engage people in a way that's meaningful to him.
Right.
And it's kind of like, that's the challenge I think we have, is so much of our culture right now is just, well, forget them and just go to your own little camp and don't even talk to them. And it's like, well, if we talk, we probably have some things that could be meaningful, that could be, and probably some ways that open up the door for the gospel to be shared. So let's be willing to engage a little bit.
Man, that's beautiful. There's so many things about that interaction that we could learn from.
Oh, yeah.
As you're starting to get into, but the way that Paul, he kind of meets them where they're at, speaks to them on their terms a little bit, and a method for kind of engaging in just relationship and conversation rather than I'm gonna like just kind of try to shove my beliefs down your throat,
right?
While at the same time being firm. Yeah, I think that, like, he handles that balance really well.
Beautifully. He's not trying to win them over. He's trying to win them over.
Right.
He's trying to get a W for Jesus. He's not trying to win the argument. And and I think that's the point. I think there's something to that.
So. And some insight or just some wisdom about this interaction I heard this week was most of the time, whenever people criticize Christianity, people aren't, going after, like, our theology all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there is not, oh, well, I don't believe Jesus existed God raised him from the dead. Like, usually people aren't attacking, like, the heart of Christianity.
Right.
Usually people are attacking the, the ways that Christians have hurt them.
Right.
You know. Or Christians have failed to, engage in conversation with them in some way.
Absolutely.
So I think that just lends itself really well to kind of what you're already kind of stirring on. The example Paul sets for us. So.
Yeah, and I just talking to you aloud, I think I'm going to use that phrase. Paul destroys the Epicureans. I'm going to use that in the sermon. So, yeah, my temptation is it's so historical. I don't, you know, a guy like me, I could make this just the most bogged down, boring sermon ever. But I'm going to try to keep it interesting and try to keep it moving. You know,
that's great.
Because I would love to talk for an hour about the Epicureans. You know,
hey, people like the history too, man. People like the history.
They do, but not that much.
Matt, as you continue to pray through this and study through this, the Lord be with you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Lord God, we give you thanks for the chance to hear your word, to be shaped by you, and that you love us enough to make yourself intimately known to us in the person of Jesus. Lord, this weekend, as Matt proclaims your word to us, just give him insight and focus and discernment and, Lord, the clarity of mind to speak your truth to your people, and give us open hearts to receive that message from you, that you would inspire and shape how we interact with our neighbor and how we share your love with each other. Lord, bless this place. Thank you for St. Andrew's Church and School. Be with us and guide us in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. See you, St. Andrew's.
Bye, guys.